Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Have not recovered from the U of A Xavier game last night. I felt like as Xavier was going down the stretch, make some free throws and try and stay away from being fatigued, and neither one of those things happened. And U of A is now in the Elite Eight, which is fine. I have no problems with that. The ASU fans are just waiting. I mean, last night they were just I can't wait to see U of A lose to Xavier and throw out my no pity for the kitty nonsense. I just, that tired, long 30, 40 years of jealousy and anger and resentment. ASU fans were waiting to pounce last night. And then U of A, TJ McConnell, who didn't have a great game, in my estimation, early. But this is what makes him so good. He doesn't remember. Late in the game, there's a play where he just steps up, looks like he's about ready to pass, pulls up, hits jump shot from downtown, drives into the lane, draws a double team, leaves it off to Brandon Ashley. And before you know it, U of A advances on to the Elite Eight, and they beat Xavier. So we'll talk about that. Eric's going to join us in a couple of moments. He's out in Los Angeles, so we'll visit with him. Clark Kellogg will be with us in about 20 minutes. The great Clark Kellogg with CBS Sports. You watched him last night on the set with Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Greg Gumbel. He is pretty much a regular on the show. It's always good to have Clark with us. We're going to talk about last night's win and Wisconsin U of A tomorrow. There'll be a lot of conversation on that front. Goody at the movies today. So Bill's got three, and I have to believe he's just going to crush one of them. The Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie. This looks just awful. It's called Get Hard. So there's that one. Then Al Pacino and Jennifer Garner in a movie that Bill wants to talk about, Danny Collins. So we'll have Goody at the movies because, guys, here's the deal. If you're a U of A fan, you know you're going to be tied up tomorrow. So take her to the movies tonight. Build up the equity. Pretend that you really care, that you really want to be out with her on a date when you really don't. You'd rather be watching the games tonight, but you got to make sacrifices, right? That's how it works. So we'll have Goody at the movies. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, which is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So the Honda Resort and Casino has been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. And since day number one, almost 3 years now, I've been telling people to head up to the Honda Resort and Casino to get away from it all up to the White Mountains. It's so beautiful up there, just outside of Pine Top, right near the Sunrise Ski Resort. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. You can eat some great food at the Honda Resort and Casino, see some entertainment, pull down on the slots, head over to Sunrise during the day, do some skiing and snowboarding. You know, it's not going to be much longer that you can do that. And also make your plans for the summer. Before you know it, summer's going to be here. Why not head up for a week up into the White Mountains and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino? That is the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino. U of A goes from sweet to the elite, and Eric Sorensen joins us live in Los Angeles with Sports 360 AZ for a couple of minutes. Was it a big U of A fan contingent? Was it more Wisconsin fans for the early game, first and foremost?
Well, first of all, the biggest Wisconsin fan and the Wisconsin fan that seemed to get the most attention was Aaron Rodgers, who was sitting right behind the Badger bench. But it was a sea of red for the early game, and then a sea of red for the late game. So tomorrow, when you put a sea of red next to a sea of red, you're probably going to just see, I don't know, a lot of red. There were quite a few Wisconsin fans, and Brad, as we've talked about all along, with so many people that went to Arizona here in Southern California, the Wildcats had plenty of fans as well.
Yeah, but you missed the big story here. It's not Aaron Rodgers. Who cares? It's Olivia Munn who he is sitting with. I mean, come on, let's get serious about this.
Yeah, Olivia Munn is just in Oz in the press room. Like, hey, did you see Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, and who's Andy North? He's with Andy North, but who's that next to him? Who's the lady?
It's Olivia Munn.
I know.
She's
Yeah.
I've had a crush on Olivia Munn for a couple of years now. Like, what does Aaron Rodgers have that I don't, other than he can play football and he's better looking and he's got a big contract? I don't know.
Funny anecdote after the game, Bo Ryan, someone asked Bo Ryan, you know, did you see Aaron Rodgers sitting right behind your bench? And of course he played it off like, oh, Aaron Rodgers was here. Well, the moral of the story is, I guess Aaron Rodgers goes to quite a few of the Wisconsin games.
Yeah.
And Bo Ryan was like, I probably would have paid more attention to him if Aaron Andrews was there, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Andrews used to date.
Yeah,
lives out here, blah, blah, blah. You know how that is.
Whatever with Aaron Andrews. I'm
whatever.
Over her. I mean, Olivia Munn, she's, oh.
There's no relation to Jeff Munn there, is there?
No,
I don't think so.
No, heck, absolutely there's not. No offense to Jeff, but no. So anyways, so we got the model and the actress out of the way. So let's get on to the stuff that's not quite as important. They didn't play great, or was it Xavier was just that good, in your opinion, last night?
A little bit of both. I think the key for Arizona, two things that really stuck out after I look back on the box score, U of A missed their first two free throws and then made 17 in a row. Mm-hmm. And that's the sign of a good team. They did not shoot the ball well. They only shot 40.7% from the field, but they made their free throws when they had to. And believe it or not, as sloppy as the Cats looked last night, they only committed 8 turnovers,
yeah.
And 4 of them were by TJ McConnell, who averages like 2 a game. So uncharacteristically poor first half for U of A. Sean Miller gave quite a bit of credit to his former school. They mixed and matched their defenses. They played that 1-3-1, and then they played a little 2-3, and they switched up and played a little man. And they had U of A confused, but in the end, the better team won.
Not by much, though.
No.
I felt like Xavier just wore out. That they put everything. Stainbrook was dead tired. He picked up 3 fouls like a minute and a half late in the game. He looked
just
done.
Yeah, he did. That was a big turning point. And it's sort of eerily similar, Brad. I put it on Twitter. This year's tournament run for Arizona sort of mirrors last year's. They got through the first weekend pretty easy. Remember last year down in San Jose, they played San Diego State. It was a pretty close game. They won by 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Wisconsin in the Elite Eight. This year, pretty easy in the first two rounds. Had a little bit of a tricky test in the Sweet 16, and the Badgers are waiting in the Elite Eight again.
Yeah. So who do you like tomorrow?
I like Arizona.
Oh, come on.
I think this is
come
the year
on.
They break through.
Jeez, just go out on a limb so people hate on you, you know?
No. And I think what Sean Miller said last night was pretty accurate. I mean, it's a big deal that U of A played them last year in the same setting, because the big three for Wisconsin, Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Nigel Hayes, the Cats have already played those guys.
Yeah.
And the way Wisconsin's such a unique team, they run man-to-man exclusively. They're very old-school, passing, motion offense. You don't see that a lot in college basketball with the way teams want to get up and down the floor. And I just think Arizona will be more prepared this year. And last year, you know, it was a coin flip game that really could have gone either way. So this year, I think the Cats make it, and they'll be in Indianapolis.
All right. You're putting up plenty of content today in Los Angeles. You're working your tail off. You're all over it. I got it.
Thanks for waking me up this morning, too.
You got
I appreciate
it. Anytime. 8 a.m., and he's just, hello. So I don't know what he was doing, but there's Eric in Los Angeles. And again, in all seriousness, you can check out his content on the site sports360az.com. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We do have a national flavor to us as well. Here is a little bit of video last night. Here's Sean Miller after the game talking about the defense of Xavier last night.
I credit Xavier a lot. Thought they had a great game plan. We knew going into the game that they're going to play their 1-3-1. And we also knew that they were excellent in getting the ball inside. They remind me a lot of Gonzaga and how they use their big guys to score and then throw the ball out.
Sean Miller there. Here is TJ McConnell on the win. This is TJ McConnell after the game. It took place so late last night, we figured you'd want to see it today.
Determined to not let it end, and I don't want it to end. You know, we're kind of playing with a mentality of refuse to lose and do whatever it takes. And, you know, a lot of teams would have folded in our position tonight, but we showed a lot of heart and resiliency. And, you know, big players made big-time plays, and I'm proud of all my teammates.
There was quite a bit of conversation before the game about how Stanley Johnson would play. Would he be too amped up? Stanley Johnson has played in the bright lights before, whether it's high school and All-Star games and this year as well, but being back in Southern California, here is Stanley Johnson after the win last night.
When you get an opportunity like this to get to the Final Four, you know, you obviously want to take advantage of it. But like I said before, especially as a freshman, you know, never playing in the tournament before, it's always just our days and the way we prepare for games are regular. You know, we've been doing this since, you know, November, since I got here from the first scrimmage that we have. And that's all on Coach Miller. You know, he makes everything pretty much easy to learn because everything's so similar.
So there's Stanley Johnson. All right, so workout today for the U of A, and then tomorrow at 3, just after 3 o'clock, they'll play Wisconsin. If they win, they go on to the Final Four. I'm going to talk about Wisconsin, U of A with Clark Kellogg here in about 5 minutes or thereabouts. Last night, Kentucky blasted West Virginia. West Virginia shot 24% from the field. And I don't know if Notre Dame beats Kentucky tomorrow, and I don't think they're going to, but if they did, would it be right along the same level as Notre Dame beating UCLA? If we remember our college basketball history and the Bruins' long, long winning streak under John Wooden, would that be on the same line tomorrow? What you're seeing now, if you're below the age of about 40, maybe 45, you're seeing something with Kentucky that we just have not witnessed in sports before. And watching them play last night, they were just a machine in every way, shape, and form, and went right through West Virginia. One of the West Virginia freshmen said, you know, they're going to be 35-1. And so if that's what it takes to motivate a team, I don't know. I don't buy into that. I watched with interest as Wichita State's coach, Greg Marshall, lost last night. I was with some big cigar ASU people last night at an event. And it's interesting. We're sitting there. We're over at Marley's in Chandler. And I'm sitting with some of these big cigars, and they want to talk about the coach. And we have this nice conversation over a couple of beers, watching the games, and they said, what do you think of Josh Pastner? And one of these big cigars is real big on Josh Pastner. And my thing is, okay, do you know his postseason record? No, I don't. It's 0-2. Really? Do you know his regular season record against teams in the top 25 AP poll? Nope. It's 5-20. Really? So he's never won in the postseason? No. Doesn't mean you shouldn't look at him. Doesn't mean you shouldn't consider him. But man, oh man. Before you start pushing people out there, look at peel the onion back just one layer. Lots of people can recruit. Can they coach? Especially when you get into the Elite Eight. Sweet 16, Elite Eight, thereabouts, are the best coaches. I don't want somebody that can just roll in here and go recruit a bunch of guys and say, see, we make it to the tournament every year. I don't need that. I don't want a one-and-done guy. I kind of like to have a coach who's won a little bit. He does not have to have won a national title. And then the third part of the discussion with these big cigars is, are you going to pay your basketball coach more than you're going to pay your football coach? And they all about choked on their beer and on their nachos and on their potato skins.
Oh, we could never do that.
Okay, so that tells me all I need to know, because some of these guys are the guys that write checks. They don't want to do that, so then the commitment, I'm not saying there's not a commitment. It's just, okay, I know where my ceiling is. My ceiling is I'm not going to pay a coach over $3 million to coach my basketball program because football is more important than basketball. I don't know if that's Ray Anderson's approach. I don't know that. But I would love to see them interview Greg Marshall at Wichita State. Alabama's already put it out there that's probably going to be in excess of $3 million. Want to be great? You want to get it stirred up? You want to get people excited? Go chase Shaka Smart. Go do it. Oh, he'll never leave Virginia Commonwealth University. I don't know. What is there out here that is not elsewhere? Well, we'll never get a shot at Greg Marshall. We're going to settle for some guy who's close to getting fired. Memphis's AD. Go check this. Memphis's AD is a finalist for the AD job at Cal. He's about to leave. So I guess if the timing to get Josh Pastner, if that's who you want, who's never won a tournament game, and has 5 wins and 20 losses against top 25 teams, that's what you want. It's there for you. The Coyotes game at Buffalo last night was pretty amazing. And we've got some sound of the play-by-play and the pissed-off Sabre players, because this was over the top pick last night. You guys know I'm not paying much attention to the Coyotes right now because they blow. The only thing that matters is the number one overall pick. But it was funny, and you'll hear that in about 10 minutes. Clark Kellogg joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
It's a great day in the state of Arizona. I know many of you last night needed cardiac care the way that U of A was playing against Xavier. You Sun Devil fans, man, just lay off. I get it. You don't like U of A, but, you know, they're in the Elite Eight. You're not. You're looking for a coach. Just relax. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmath with you. Pleasure to have with us now. He is with CBS, TNT, True TV, TBS. Am I leaving anything out, Clark? Clark Kellogg.
No, you got the bases covered there. You got them covered, Brad.
good to have you with us. I know your time has been busy with Charles and Kenny and Greg Gumbel and others. And what did you make out of last night with U of A pulling it out over Xavier, Clark?
Well, again, you have to find different ways to win if you're going to continue to play. It's not always going to be pretty, not always going to be smooth or aesthetically pleasing, but the reality is this team, Arizona, has versatility. They defend at a good level. I thought Xavier played a pretty strong game. They played through Matt Stainbrook, who's a load, and that's not just for Arizona last night. He's been that way pretty much all year. He's a hard guy to deal with down low because he's so wide. He's got good feet and a good touch and played really well. But at the end of the day, Arizona got to the foul line, converted on free throws, and made plays down the stretch to move on and lead to the rematch that we were anticipating when the brackets came out. The number one and two seeds in the West region, Wisconsin and Arizona, get to play again for a chance to go to Indianapolis.
How many lottery picks are on the floor tomorrow in that game?
Tomorrow, let's see, Kaminsky, I think Nigel Hayes eventually will be a top 15 caliber pick. Decker.
Yep.
You go to the Arizona side, Stanley Johnson. I think Stanley might be the only
one. I think he's going to be the only one.
Rondé. I think Hollis Jefferson will play in the league. Tarzewski, if he can refine his offensive game athletically and body-wise, he's got things that you like to see, but he's got to refine his offensive game, I think. But that can happen. I mean, everybody develops at a different rate. I think you've got six, maybe seven guys that will ultimately have a chance to play in the NBA.
And when you get to this point in the tournament, that can be said for a lot of teams. There's always the rare exception, or I wouldn't say it's this many. Like Kentucky, it's everybody, all right? I mean,
yeah, it's a good number, sure.
It's everybody. But it's about that for tomorrow's game. I thought it was interesting in looking towards tomorrow that Wisconsin played a high-scoring game last night. There's been this belief nationally that, well, if Wisconsin gets into a running game with anybody, especially U of A, they can't pull it out. They showed different last night.
Well, that's clearly just people being locked in a faulty perception. I mean, if you watch Wisconsin over the last three, 4 years, they've scored in the 70s multiple times. They're selective in how they run. They're deliberate in how they play, but they're not a slow-down, hold-the-ball team. I mean, that's been a misnomer for a number of years. I know they were that way back in 2000, early 2000s with Dick Bennett, but that's not been the case under Bo. I think that's just been a very faulty, antiquated perception.
Clark Kellogg with us for a couple of minutes. Do you buy into this theory that I've heard from some of the U of A longtime faithful that Sean Miller has yet to escape Lute Olson's shadow?
No, I think he's continuing to carve out his own identity. It's a massive shadow that Lute casts simply because of his tremendous success, not just at Arizona, but he was outstanding as a head coach at Iowa as well. So I think that's part of what happens when you follow a Hall of Famer. And it's a matter of Sean just continuing to be himself, continue to recruit high-quality kids to the program that perform at a high level, and ultimately he'll carve out his own. I don't think he's and again, I'm not there, so I may be wrong in saying this, but from a distance, I don't think there's any sense of him not being out of the shadow of Lute Olson. I think for a pocket of the population there, it might always be the case. Woody Hayes hasn't been around Ohio State for a number of years, and his name and shadow come up oftentimes in good ways. So I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I don't perceive it as such. No.
Winning a title, I think, is what I've heard from those fans, and anything short of that, which isn't really fair to Sean. I mean, I think Sean.
No, it's not. It's not. But that's the public, and the public is entitled to its many and multitude of opinions. And that's the reality of the world that coaches live in. So I don't think there's anything unique about that.
Clark Kellogg with us for a couple of minutes. CBS Sports, of course, tomorrow, Arizona and Wisconsin in the Elite Eight. All the fans across Arizona getting fired up for that. The ASU fans sitting off to the sideline. I'm going to talk to Clark in a second about the ASU coaching job. But a couple of other things about the tournament. What do you make out of Notre Dame's chances against Kentucky? Is this the same as UCLA-Notre Dame years and years and years ago for college basketball fans? And if Notre Dame wins, it would be right up there as one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history.
It would be a big upset. I don't know if it would be the magnitude of that. I think that team had won, 87, 88 games in a row or whatever it was for UCLA. I think they had won back-to-back national championships then. I can't remember the full details, but no, I wouldn't say it would be the magnitude of that. It certainly would be noteworthy in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real uphill challenge. They've got some of the ingredients necessary. I think they're experienced. They play an offensive game that has versatility and shot-making from every position, good guard play. So they've got some ingredients. Can they defend? Can they rebound effectively enough in addition to making shots to be able to beat Kentucky? And can they do that for 40 minutes? That's the question, and I don't know if they can overcome all of those questions.
Have you bought into this Calipari looking at the NBA stuff, or is this just
what
happens?
No, not really. I don't know him well enough, Brad, quite honestly, and I don't know what itch he might be looking to scratch personally in regards to the NBA. So I don't have a real strong opinion or feeling on it either way. We'll see how it plays out. That's at least the perspective that I've chosen to take on it.
I don't want to go through every game tonight. We don't have that much time. But the game tonight where you see the upset, or do you see
North Carolina State, Louisville.
Okay.
That's the only one that I see it possibly happen. The next choice would be Utah, Duke, if Utah can keep it in a half-court situation. Utah only has taken 76 shots in its first two tournament games, highly efficient, very good defensively in the half court. That team has enough size in a couple of its players to perhaps challenge Okafor in the paint, and a really good point guard in DeLon Wright. But number one upset potential would be North Carolina State because of the play of its big guys of late. The guards are platinum level in Turner, Barber, and Lacey, but the big guys have helped them in this tournament run. I think Michigan State in a close one against Oklahoma, that's a seed upset, but those teams are evenly matched. And then I think Gonzaga moves on against UCLA.
Before I let you go, and I appreciate your time on busy game day, out here Arizona State came open with Herb Sendak earlier this week. I know you're caught up in March Madness. There's names that are floating around. I'm just curious from a national perspective, do you have a view as why Arizona State is one of these programs that for the last 30 years – coaches of the year, Bill Frieder, Rob Evans, Herb Sendak, come here, and they all leave fired. What is the view nationally of Arizona State basketball?
You know, I don't really have a strong position on that, Brad, because I don't follow the coaching carousel that strongly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I leave my energy to focusing on the game and the student-athletes. Coaching is part of it. So I really wouldn't have a specific answer, especially when you're not close enough to a situation. Arizona State is in a really good conference. It's in a great location. They've had pockets of success and have not sustained it, and I couldn't give you any real solid reasons as to why. That's beyond my expertise from where I sit and what I choose to focus on.
Fair enough, and I don't want to throw names by it, too. There's a lot of names blowing around out here. Before I let you go, then, tomorrow, U of A advance, or do they run into the buzzsaw of Wisconsin again?
Well, psychologically, I think when you meet a team that's beaten you before, you have a little bit of an edge, but I think the versatility of Wisconsin is where the difference will be. The fact that the big guys can shoot it from outside, they're solid defensively, guard play is pretty even. I think Wisconsin finds a way to move on, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Wildcats in Indianapolis either. But I think Wisconsin gets it done again.
Clark, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
All right, Brad. Take care now.
You got to take care. Clark Kellogg with us for a couple of minutes. He will be on tonight alongside of Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Greg Gumbel, the great Clark Kellogg on game day. Appreciate his time. It's terrific to catch up with him. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. So last night in Buffalo, the Coyotes are playing a game, and they go into overtime, and the Coyotes score at Buffalo, and the fans cheered for the Coyotes. And the Buffalo players were upset all over the number one potential pick. I'll explain, you'll hear reaction, and the play-by-play itself. Crazy story in Buffalo. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Looking forward to the games tonight. I'm going to be a basketball dad this weekend, which is cool. My 10-year-old. I love doing that stuff. Got games tonight, tomorrow. Be on watching the games while I'm sitting in the stands. Get him out of the game. I need 5 minutes to get caught up, you know. We'll be fine. Watch the U of A game. Eric is in Los Angeles, of course, with plenty of content on sports360az.com. We also partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. The show can be viewed there each and every day. The Coyotes are in the news today, and the Coyotes have not been on the radar screen at all for it feels like for most of this year. those of you that are diehard Coyote fans, all five of you that are left, I apologize that you've had to put up with this slop for another year. I had a couple of people that sent me notes that another assistant city manager quit over in Glendale, another one of them. What an absolute train wreck that is. You know, if there was to be a story written, like Jordy Hamm is in for, he's in for Eric today. And I don't tell you guys what to do. I don't say, you know, let's go write about, you guys do it yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I decided to tell you, I want to see something written about how many assistant city managers and city managers have quit in the city of Glendale since the Coyotes have arrived. We try to keep things pretty short because in the digital world, after about a minute 30, minute 45, after about 200-300 words, people are just done. I don't think you could do it in like less than 2,000 words or 10 minutes.
It'd be pretty lengthy.
All these poor saps that have come and gone with the Coyotes that have been blown out that have said, look, we're jacked up over here in Glendale. Does that do anything for you?
Not really.
Yeah. If you said yes, then I would have just buried you with it. So, all right, we're going to talk about the Coyotes, though, and what happened last night. This is pretty cool. There are times where we watch the Suns and we want them to tank, right? That's happened in the past. We have watched the Cardinals through the years. You guys need to just lose and you'd get a number one overall pick. I think it's fine if you have a team that you root for, okay? I don't have a team that I root for. I could care less if U of A wins tomorrow. Don't care. I could care less if Arizona State wins the Pac-12 title in football or basketball. All I want are interesting stories. Don't care if the Cardinals win 12 games or 2 games. Don't care. Just how I'm wired. I'm not this big fan that sits here behind a microphone and has pom-poms out. I root for good stories. If the Diamondbacks win 68 or 69 games again this year, that's not a good story. It's the same old crapola. I actually think they're going to be a little bit better. But in the case of the Coyotes, they truly have a shot or had a shot at getting the top pick. You know, last night they played Buffalo. Buffalo sat in dead last in the NHL with 47 points. The Coyotes, the second worst team, with 52. These two juggernauts met last night. In fact, they're going to meet this coming Monday out in Glendale, and there will be nobody out there. I might go. I actually think it's a pretty good story. Two teams that suck are going to sit there and face off in front of nobody out in Glendale. But what's at stake is Connor McDavid from the Erie Otters, who most of you, if not all of you, have never heard of, and Boston University center Jack Eichel. In fact, if you combine the two names, and that's what they're doing in Buffalo, it's McEichel. It's the McEichel battle that's going on right now. So last night, these two teams that blow, and it's already been a bad trip for the Coyotes to Buffalo. Nick Boynton, their radio color analyst, got arrested for biting somebody. At least somebody with the Coyotes is putting up a fight. He bit a policeman. This happened at a casino, and he pushed some patrons there. That happened the night before last. And now he's been taken off the air. So the Boynton thing, that happened. Then last night, here are the Coyotes who need to lose. You don't want them to win anymore. And they're in a space where they could have the number one overall pick. It's the Tank Bowl that was going on last night. And instead, your hometown heroes in overtime.
Now Ekman Larson thought about it. Gives it to Gagne. He shoots. He scores!
Fans are going crazy, right?
And the
right?
Coyotes, for the second time on this road trip, have won it in overtime.
All right. Fans are going crazy. Problem is, that game was in Buffalo. The fans in Buffalo were cheering. We're going to play it again here in a second. The fans in Buffalo were going crazy with glee and emotion because their team lost. Let's hear this one more time. Again, this is in Buffalo in overtime with the Coyotes. And Buffalo's a big hockey market.
Now Ekman Larson thought about it. Gives it to Gagne. He shoots. He scores!
Hometown fans, they're loving this.
And
we
the
lost!
The Coyotes, for the second time on this road trip, have won it in overtime.
Poor Matt McConnell. Matt McConnell's great. Matt McConnell should say, damn. Don't score. No. Oh, he scored. Oh, no. Oh, the Coyotes win. Back to wrap it up. Oh, God, what were they thinking? That's what it should have happened. Now, we're going to take you from the ice where these players in Buffalo, and this is a city that is steep in hockey tradition. This isn't out here, right? They're cheering because their team lost. Here's the Sabres in the locker room afterwards.
I've always spoken extremely high of our fans. I don't even know if disappointed is the word. I've never, again, I mean, they scored the first one. Our fans are cheering. Late penalty, they cheer. They cheer when they score to win the game. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I mean, this is extremely frustrating for us. We don't want to be here. We understand where we are. We understand what this team's doing, what the organization's doing, where the place we've put ourselves in. I've never been a part of something like that where the away team comes into a home building and they're cheering for them.
Yeah. But wait, there's a little bit more coming out of the Sabres losing locker room.
This is 2 years in a row now where this is, again, physically, mentally, this is, this sucks.
Yeah.
And to compound things, you know, you have your home fans cheering against you kind of. And I've never been a part of that. I mean, obviously, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I guess, but this is a whole new low right now.
So he's ripping on the fans, and it's players have a right to be frustrated. Will the same thing happen here on Monday night? Again, that was in Buffalo last night. Two teams will meet again this coming Monday. Are you going to go? The more I think about it, the more I've got to go. I just think that's a great story. How many fans will have McEichel jerseys on? You know, can I get my McEichel jersey here, please? Again, this is all getting in positioning for the top pick. That's all that is left here with our beloved hockey team that nobody really cares about and has embraced the last few years. They're the red-haired stepchild here in the community, and there's no other way to put it. Anybody who try, and look, Don Maloney's a nice guy. Dave Tippett's a nice guy. I think they're very competent. When they were in the playoffs last time around, we traveled with them. Call me front runner all you want. I'm just going to where there's a good story. Monday night's a pretty good story. I mean, actually, the more I think about it, it's a really good story because the team blows. And it's kind of like this. The Diamondbacks have the number one overall pick in the upcoming baseball draft. I think it'd be kind of fun if the Coyotes could cooperate and stink these remaining games and let Buffalo get past them. They'd have the number one pick. And, you know, the nightmare that is the Suns, where they're just not quite bad enough yet. They're not good. They're just kind of not bad enough yet. It would be kind of fun if they could just blow the thing up and we could have three teams that have the number one overall pick in 1 year. Why not? We're already close. We got one. Close on another. Three times a charm, right? Our market has teams that blow. But I think that's beautiful in Buffalo last night. Fans are and the fans have every right to. They put down their money. Players can be upset. McDavid is considered by many hockey experts as the best prospect to come along since Sidney Crosby. Okay? I will guarantee you that the Coyotes behind the scenes are just hoping, please end this season and let's just start talking about McDavid and Eichel. And get everybody excited about the young player that's going to be here. Never mind, he has not very much talent around him. So I thought that was fun last night. And Monday will be a good story. Monday will be a really good story. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Last night, General Manager Tim Hovick sent me a note. Hey, come on over. Let's watch the tournament. We were over at Marley's sitting together on the patio, all the Santan Ford guys having a good time, and some ASU big cigars that were there too, watching the games were taking place, and a couple of the guys came by and were just sitting talking sports. You know, how's the show going? How are things? Heard you've been traveling a lot, and I turn around on them. How's business? Business is good. Having vehicles. There were some Santan Ford vehicles out front of Marley's last night, some of the new ones, and people were stopping in just checking them out. I've already had a number of compliments on the Fusion Hybrid that I'm driving from Santan Ford. Picked it up about 3 weeks ago. I stopped in yesterday to fill up for the first time in 2.5 weeks. I don't know about you, but when I drive by gas stations and I see the price of gas and I'm just throwing money away versus, oh, I get 600 miles on a tank of gas. It costs me like 25 bucks. It is pretty good, especially as busy as I am, all the places I'm going to. I've got club basketball tonight, got tournaments tomorrow. I've got a speaking thing tomorrow. I've got a speaking thing this afternoon. I'm busy running this company, doing the show every day, and I need a vehicle that makes a lot of sense for me, and that's the Fusion Hybrid. How about you? You a busy business guy? Are you hitting that stage in life where you're getting out of the minivan, and now you're looking around saying, okay, it's time to get into something? We got into the certified pre-owned Explorer. It made a lot of sense for us from Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Goody at the Movies is on the other side, and I want to talk to Bill. Hey, I'm sure he's got some Olivia Munn stuff, too, because, oh, my gosh, he's got to have a crush on Olivia Munn. When I saw Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn last night, it's like, get off the game. I don't care. Just tell me Wisconsin just scored. Let's get a closer shot of Olivia Munn. Come on. She's drop-dead gorgeous with Aaron Rodgers last night. I'm Brad Sussmatt. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, you need a break. Get her out to the movies. It's the one and only Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, also Man About Town, with lots of thoughts and ideas on Aaron Rodgers standing with Olivia Munn last night during the Wisconsin game. The over-under on Olivia Munn shots with Aaron Rodgers tomorrow during the U of A-Wisconsin game is 5?
Depends on the game.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
If it's close, I'd put it at 3. If it's not, oh, man, I mean, there's no ceiling.
Sloan Sabbath was and still is one of my favorite characters from the newsroom. I don't know where you came down on newsroom, but, man, Olivia Munn just stopped me cold. Just hit me upside the head. Oh, my gosh, she's gorgeous, Bill.
And Aaron Rodgers, nice-looking man. I mean, I assume that he has a fair amount of money. Probably either one of them can pick up the check, you know?
I mean, what is it that she sees in him that I don't have, other than throwing a football? I mean, come on. We don't have the whole segment here. Yeah, really. Right.
So this is typically a pretty short segment.
That's right. It's done. All right, we have 3 movies today. That means do you like all 3 of these movies?
No.
Okay, let's start with the one. Do we have to go in order, Jared, or can I bounce around on this? We have to go. Okay, so let's start with the one that you hate the most.
The one I hate the most is probably Get Hard, and I don't hate it, but it's just not very good. It's, Will Ferrell is this white-collar criminal guy who is going to go to jail. He's framed, but he's going to go to jail. So he hires Kevin Hart to teach him how to be tough on the inside, you know. But it turns out Kevin Hart is like a really kind of just when they can, his relatives call him Cliff Huxtable. He doesn't know anything about prison, but he's going to get paid a lot of money, so he goes along with it. And it's stupid. It's basically, it's one 2-hour movie making jokes about prison rape. So, you know, like, it's however funny you think that is. But the thing that's good about it is Hart, for once, really kind of tones down his thing. You know, he's not as manic as he usually is, and he's really funny.
He's really funny. Okay.
And Will Ferrell's the same as he always is, which is fine. He does that well. And they're enjoyable. It's just that there's a lot of stuff. I like satire, but the thing about satire is, and I like offensive satire, but if you're going to do that, you've got to really kind of know your subject and sort of have an empathy with it. And I feel like in this, they just don't have that. They're just kind of doing it to do it. But it's hit and miss. But there, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some really fun stuff in it. And unless I'm wrong, I assume it will just make, scads of money.
I am not a Will Ferrell guy top to bottom. There's some stuff that's pretty good, and then there's some stuff that's just like, okay, you just want to throw this out here for the sake of throwing it out here. It's kind of like Adam Sandler. I'm just kind of there on some of it. Some of it is just, I'm not going to go see it, but I understand that there's that name brand that will just go throw it out there, and people will show up and pay no matter what.
Well, the thing about both of those guys is they can both be very good, and the other thing about them is
they often don't seem to feel the need to be.
Mm.
But if you, you know, I once heard Adam Sandler on the Tim Patrick show, and, you know, he put Patrick in a lot of his movies. And Patrick said, he said, you know, we filmed this whole movie in Hawaii. Don't you have a house in Hawaii? Why didn't you go see it? And Sandler said, seemingly serious, I mean, he joked a little bit, but he said, I can't show that house to people. And he said, why? And he said, it's just too nice. I mean, it would make you hate me. And he said, like, I have a staff that has to maintain it and stuff. He said, I don't take people there. I just thought, what must that be like to make that kind of money? I mean, maybe you do. You make crappy movies too if they paid you that kind of money.
Goody at the Movies. Danny Collins. Okay, Al Pacino's kind of a recluse, in my opinion. Have you ever been able to get him?
I have. I've talked to him. He turned out to be a very nice fellow. It was funny. I had to put the interview off for like an hour or something because I had to pick up one of my kids at school. And then, like, so the phone rings, and I talked to him, and I said, hey, you know, I'm sorry about the delay and all that stuff. And then I can't do a very good Al Pacino voice, but he was, no. Same thing with me. I think he's got a kid younger than I do, you know, and he's like, yeah, same thing with me. It happens all the time. Parent first. Be a parent first. You know, and I was like, oh,
that's cool.
That's nice, I suppose. And, you know, he's another guy. I mean, when he's great, there's nobody better. I mean, you know, the first couple of Godfather movies, you know, like his first two movies. I mean, where do you go from there? But he in this, they kind of play with him overacting and stuff. He's a rock star. He's not an actor, but he's sort of sold out, and he knows it, and he's trying to kind of get back on the right track. It's based on an actually pretty interesting true story where there's this British folk singer, and in an interview, they said, were you worried about getting famous? He said, will that change the way you do your art or whatever? He said, yeah, I mean, I assume it will. How could it not? John Lennon wrote this guy a letter that said, it doesn't have to. You know, the only thing you just don't have to worry about money anymore. Everything else, your relationships, your expectations, everything else is the same. Doesn't change anything. And his manager, or whoever had it, they didn't give it to this guy for like 30 years. So he never knew that Lennon wrote him a letter while Lennon was alive. And that's sort of the basis of this. He gets the letter from Lennon, and he decides he's going to go off and do the thing. So it's actually, Pacino's better than he has been in a long time.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, that sounds like something I could take my wife to. How about it?
Oh, absolutely.
How about, so you like that? You like this movie?
Yeah, I like it. I love it. I like it.
Yeah, okay. All right. It Follows. That's the third movie you have.
I love that.
Okay, what is this about?
It's a horror movie, which may put some people off, but it shouldn't. There's only one even sort of semi-gory scene, but it throws back a lot to the movies like Halloween and stuff like that, you know, these 1980s horror films where, like, if you do it, you die. You know, it's like if you have sex, you're going to get killed. What happens here is it sort of takes that to the extreme. I mean, it's set in the present, but it very much has the feel of those movies, that dread of just, like, what's happening. And what happens is this girl likes her boyfriend. They finally, like, they have sex for the first time, and he ties her up in a chair. And you think, oh, no, he's, like, some kind of killer. But no, he says, look, I have to do this or you won't believe me. He said, there's something coming for you now. It was coming for me, but I passed it along to you. Now you have to pass it along to somebody else. And if they kill that person, it comes back for you. And sure enough, here comes this woman, just like walking toward them. And he said, it won't stop. You never know who it's going to be. They change shape, change people, but it's always coming. And if they catch you, they'll kill you. And so the whole movie, looking at the frame, you know, just like if you see somebody in the corner walking towards them, it's like, oh, God, is that the killer? Is that this monster? You know, and it's like, it's really creepy, but it's really well done.
Mm. Long?
If you like scary movies, and you should see it on a bigger screen because of the way that it's made, of the way that those things creep into the frame and stuff, and you're like, oh gosh, what is it going to be? Is he going to come get me? You know, I love stuff like that.
Wow, listen to you. You don't gush often, so.
I don't, but no. I'm gushing now. This movie was supposed to be one of these things that like opened in a theater or two and it went, you know, straight to video or whatever. And they showed it at the Cannes Film Festival, and people loved it, and critics loved it, and audiences loved it. So now it's opening basically everywhere. So, I think that speaks well of it too. You know, it's like, hey, you know, there's a reason people are going to see this thing.
Goody at the Movies with us. So I've been traveling up to Portland and Vegas. The Arizona Film Festival, is it still going on?
It just started. The opening film was last night. It's going to be going on tonight until April 2nd.
Okay, and where are you at on that here in town? I'm just wondering, big enough?
It's really good. They've done a really good job of catering to filmmakers, so they get people. In fact, I hosted a Q&A last night before the movie Danny Collins, which was our opening movie, with Dan Fogelman, who's the writer and director.
Mm.
And he went on and on about, you know, he's 33 and, you know, he's had dinner with Pacino four times this week and da da da. And he said, you know, he said, no, usually I've been doing these around town with Pacino. And I was doing, you know, I was like, well, sorry. I mean, you know, we're doing what we can here, but
Where's Al? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know. I think it's a really good festival. It's gotten, this is the 15th anniversary, and as Jason Carney, who is the executive director, said in some remarks last night, it's already gotten bigger than a lot of festivals that are much bigger. And they're getting, and they, as happens, they get better and better movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean.
That's good.
I like it.
That's good.
I like festivals, and I think it's well done. It's all in one place, which is also nice. You know, you don't have to go all over town trying to get to the movies.
Before you get out of here, give me a minute on your review of TNT, TBS, True TV, CBS, known as March Madness. And I thought last night Reggie Miller and Dan Bonner were not very good at all, myself in the U of A game. They were stating the obvious, we're all over the place. But the studio you know, I had Clark Kellogg on earlier. How's Clark and Charles and Kenny and all that? What do you think?
I thought Reggie was way too obvious last night, too, which was odd because if he'd just been regular, I wouldn't even have noticed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it's like, well, they really need to stop here. And it's like, well, no kidding, they need to stop here. Well, you know, no. My favorite one was when they're down by 7 or whatever it was. He said they could really use a 3 here. Like, yeah, I think, oh, you know what they could really use is 8 points, because then they'd be a point. You know, I mean, but I mean, if what else are you going to say? Of course they could use a 3. But to me, honestly, you talk about the different networks, it runs together. To me, it's one big network right now.
Okay.
And I do not distinguish between who's showing what when. I follow the game. And I think the studio show is pretty good. It's not, I mean, obviously Smith and Barkley don't know as much about college basketball as they do about the NBA. So the show is different in that respect. But in some ways, I kind of like it because here, instead of like a super expert, they kind of bring the fan knowledge base to it. They kind of know what I know. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that's fun. I've never been the biggest Clark Kellogg fan. And every time I think of him, I like to go back to the time that when he played for Ohio State, and they're supposed to be just so good, and they played UVA, and Ralph Sampson and those guys just killed him.
Well, I'll tell him that when he's on the show.
So. Don't do that.
I'll let you go off
that.
He
was a great college player.
Yeah, I loved him. He was the best ever. I'll see you soon. Stay well.
Bye.
Here's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Throughout today and throughout the weekend on sports360az.com, Eric is in Los Angeles, and the other day he put up like 6 pieces of content, like 6 more than Jordan Hamm put up and Jared put up. But he was crushing it again last night. Eric is with the U of A at practices today and content and all that sort of thing. So you can check it out on sports360az.com. We have plenty of stories there that we like. Written, a lot of video. That's where it's at, is video. And again, thanks for being with us.